Hello everyone, welcome to the Pericaleo Podcast. I'm your host, Ashton Wright. I want you to know that I am so thankful that you are with us today. I hope this episode encourages, comforts, and empowers you to live your life for the glory of God. We're actually going to go to Psalm 103. And the title of this psalm the title of today's podcast, I guess I should say, is A God Worthy of Praise. And Psalm 103 is definitely a hymn of praise and thanksgiving to God. And what a great way to start the year with a podcast on how to praise and thank God. So let's look at that together, Psalm 103. I'm going to read the whole psalm just because I like to get to the Bible and to the text as quickly as possible. So I'm going to read this. And if you can, read along with me. Psalm 103, we're going to read the whole thing. It says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love. So great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, what a powerful psalm of praise, if you will, that we read this morning. And I want to share with you three aspects of this psalm that we see here that I think is great, that are great motivations for us when we praise God, and also great principles for us when we praise God. So you see here that David is the psalmist, right? He's the writer here, and he begins writing verses 1 through 5, and it's what I call a reminder to praise. That's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. It's a reminder to praise. Look with me again. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And he says in verse 1, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David here begins this psalm by reminding himself to praise God. That's what it means when he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Literally what he's saying is that he demands his own soul to not forget God's benefits. And what does he mean by that? Well, he means the sufficiency of God, all that God has done for him. And he reminds himself not to forget God's benefits, but instead to remember them and praise him, that and praise God with all that is within him. And if we're not careful, we too can be guilty of forgetting who our God is and what he's done. We must remind ourselves of his benefits, a constant praise to the Lord for all that he's done. I mean, you see there, he says, he talks in verse 3 about the benefits. He says, who forgives all your iniquity. So he forgives David of his sin, heals his diseases. He's talking personally. He says, don't forget, David. Imagine David talking to himself, right? Don't forget, God has, he forgives your sin. Don't forget he how many times he's healed you. He saved you from sickness. And then verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. He is literally saying how many times God has saved him from death. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many times God's been faithful to you, saved you from sickness, saved you from death, right? David is speaking from experience as a king. He says, God saved me from the pit of death, not just from illness, but from people that want to kill me. He's delivered me in battle. He's saying, God's been good to me personally. And so what does David say? He reminds himself to praise. And sometimes, just practically speaking, we have to do that as well. You know, it's like when you're exercising. And when you exercise, you know, you're maybe near the end, or maybe you're just getting going, and you demand to yourself to keep going. You ever been there? Or there's something that you know you need to get done, so you keep telling yourself, focus, focus. Do, you know, finish the test. You need to finish this. You need to finish this. Or, you know, you're running, exercising, and you're like, don't quit. Don't let, you know, you're commanding yourself and telling your body what to do, telling your mind what to do and what not to do, right? We do this every day. Don't say that, you know, don't do that. You need to get up and go do this, all right? We command ourselves to do this. And so that's exactly what David's doing, except he's reminding himself, commanding himself to praise. He says, listen, I cannot forget all the good that God has done for me. I can't forget who God is and how he has been gracious and merciful to me personally. And he says, I dare not forget how good God is. He reminds himself, he commands himself to praise. But then what I love is mainly the rest of the psalm, David says, not only has he been good to me personally, not only has God been gracious and merciful to me, not only has God bless me and I praise him for personal reasons, David goes ahead and gives us two reasons that all that have trusted in the Lord can actually praise God for. He gives us reasons for praise. Look at verses 6 through 19. And this is kind of how the two reasons that we see here. The first one is in verses 6 through 13, and that is, the first reason is God's redeeming love. And then the second one is in verses 14 through 19, God's unchanging character. Let's look at God's redeeming love for a moment. I mean, I just want to highlight this to you. I mean, you see it right there in the text. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And now the rest of the psalm, the rest of these verses till verse 13 is going to explain to you how God works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgression from us. I mean, David is mentioning another reason to praise him is for his redeeming love. That he made himself known to Moses. He delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. He delivered them to a land that they were to take that God had given them. And they did. That God has always been faithful to his promise. He's always been faithful in his redeeming love. Right? The people of Israel were not a people, but God redeemed them and made them a people. Once they were enslaved, but God redeemed them and made them free. The perfect example of God's redeeming love is demonstrated in Jesus Christ. I mean, Romans 5:8, says that God demonstrated his love in this way, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see God's redeeming love put on display in the person of Jesus Christ. That God, he worked righteousness, he worked justice for all who were oppressed, you and me, oppressed by sin, slaves to sin, separated from him. And he displayed his righteousness and his justice by sending his son Jesus into the world. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus went to the cross. He died for the sins of the world. God poured out his wrath, his justice on his son. Not for his son, not because his son was sinful, but because we were sinful and that Jesus took our place. And that he did not remember our sins anymore. He did not deal with us according to our sins. He dealt with his son according to our sins. He repaid his son. He put forth his recompense on his son for our iniquities. And we're reminded that if because of Christ, because of what Jesus did for us, we can be made right with God. Why? Because of his redeeming love. And David says, we praise God for his redeeming love. But then he also talks about God's unchanging character. Look at verse 14. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. And he contrasts here. This is what I love. He contrasts God, right? God's redeeming love, his righteousness, his justice, his grace, his mercy, the perfection of God and his character. Then you get to verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. David says, man is like the grass of the field or a flower of the field. They bloom, they're great, and then all of a sudden the wind passes over them and they're no more. It's to show the brevity of man. And he says, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his commandment, his covenant, and remember to do his commandment. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. David says, I praise God for his redeeming love, but I praise God also for his unchanging character. That man comes and goes just like grass and flowers. They bloom and then in a short season and then they're gone. As soon as they bloom, they're gone. He says they come and go. They may be good for a season and they may stand above all for a season, but then very shortly the brevity of life overcomes them and they're no more. And he says, but God, oh no, he's not like man. God's unchanging character. He is immutable, which means he never changes. For everlasting to everlasting. He's eternal, infinite. His love never changes. He's perfect, unchanging. Our world is and life is it's inconsistent, it's broken, it's temporary. But our God is eternal, perfect, and unchanging, the direct opposite of what we are. And God and David says, I praise God for his unchanging character. And what a reminder for us. Don't trust in men and women. Don't trust in, in people and think that they'll never fail you. Don't look to people for perfection and perfect leadership and perfect trust and things like that. No, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Why? Because of his redeeming love and because of his unchanging character. We praise him for who he is and what he's done. And so if these things are true, then it leads us to verses 20 through 22, which is the responsibility to praise. Look what David charges every single created thing to do. He says, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. He says, every created thing on this earth, praise the Lord, bless the Lord. Lastly, we've talked about the reminder to praise. That's what we see in this passage. We see the reasons for praise, and lastly, we see the responsibility to praise. Once we understand who God is and what he's done, the only appropriate response is praise. We will either bow our knee in praise and submission because we love him and we have a relationship with him, or we will bow in submission to him as our judge. All of creation will praise and give glory that he deserves. Isn't that what the Bible says? Listen, you can either bow and worship and praise the Lord now as his child and because you love him, or you will bow one day whether you want to or not, and you will stand condemned if you don't know Jesus personally. Philippians 2, verse 10 says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father forever. Amen. Listen, it's not optional. David says, if this is who God is, this is what he's done, your responsibility, you were created to praise him, to worship him. And so I love this. David says, your responsibility, all of creation, is to bow in reverence and in worship to Almighty God, because that's the only appropriate response. So let's talk about practical application here. How do I apply this sermon to my life? Or this, not necessarily a sermon, although I have preached this. But how do I apply this text to my life? Well, the first thing is I encourage you to bow in submission to the Lord and be saved. First and foremost, bow to the Lord in submission. Submit to Jesus as Lord. Believe in what he has done on the cross and through the resurrection and who he is. Confess him as Lord and believe in him. Next, I encourage you to begin each day with praise, by remembering God and what he has done. Listen, start each day while, you know, your prayer life, your prayer journal. Write down things you're thankful for, and write down things that you are so thankful for about who God is, his character, his wisdom, his love, his mercy, his wrath, his justice, his consistency. Praise him for what he's done in your life personally. Isn't that what David did? He said, God, I can't forget all that you've done for me. When I was on my deathbed, God, you healed me. When I was being chased for my life, God, you were there. You protected me. God, when I sin, Lord, you forgive me. David knew personally how to praise. Why? Because he had experienced God. And so I encourage you, if you're a believer, begin each day with praise by remembering God and what he's done. And lastly, I encourage you, before this day's over, I encourage you, turn on a worship song and praise God for what he's done. Or as you're driving, begin to pray and praise God for who he is and what he's done immediately. Start to worship and praise God. Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.